I'm stalling for 1 second while I fix some levels, while stuff goes on behind the scenes. And now with the introductions, my name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and join in the conversation, the phone number is 472-5667, 472-K-O-O-P, toll free, 1-888-917-5667. Joining us today is, once again, special in-studio guest, DJ Apprentice Hop.
Whoop, whoop.
We got a hell of a show planned for you today, including Hup's interview with Peter?
Nick
Prewer?
Correct.
Of the curator, is that his official title?
Yeah, curator slash host.
Of the Found Footage Festival, and we'll be giving away some tickets to that later in the show. But first, what did we just hear, David Hotta?
We just heard Trust, hot rock from 1968 from the Pretty Things off their album SF Sorrow, which if it's psych from the 60s, that SF can mean only one thing, Sid Finch.
Well, it's like I was on a different show for a second. Before that, off of their new album Embryonic, that was The Flaming Lips with Worm Mountain. That song features members of MGMT. For folks out there keeping score of collaborations.
And Mac, I got to tell you, you win, because that album, it's a very good album. But I told you many, many times, I was like, there's no way you're going to find a single to play off of that on the show. And you did. And it was actually quite good and fitting. So congratulations.
It was either that or track 18. But I think track 18 is about 20 minutes long.
So yeah.
It's not that quite that long. But
that might be the new bed music, I think.
It would be killer bed music because it is loud.
Oh, it would be sick.
Oh, folks, it is Saturday, and the Battle Cattle aren't playing yet, so you got no excuse. You should be listening. Oh, how are you doing, David?
I'm doing great, actually, all things considered. This week started off crappy. I rallied. I'm here. This is a great show, packed fat with goodness. I'm really excited about the rest of the day.
You know, someone I know recently told me, they're like, hey, I listened to your radio show the other night. I was like, the other night? You meant online? What was the show about? It was like, oh, ACL. I was like, no! The first time you listen to the show, at the time, it was the worst show ever.
Not
but she described me as being hella opinionated, which I think is a good tagline for the show.
Hella opinionated.
Mascot Wedding Show, hella opinionated.
I don't know how I feel about that one.
And then we could play some No Doubt.
Yeah, that's okay. Now I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Yay, dig out those Paramore CDs.
Boom. Hup, how are you doing? DJ Apprentice Hup.
I'm good. This Flaming Lips album is made for an exciting week for me. And I think that
dropping some shrooms.
I think I can be a frog is probably my pick for a single.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that song, but it felt too,
you know what that reminded me of?
Cutesy?
You know what it completely 100% reminded me of?
What?
Is that something we do with David on occasion.
Oh, jeez.
Because basically, Hup, how does a song go? Hup, how does that song go?
Well, you know, I can be a frog, and then Karen O is there going, ribbit, ribbit, or whatever
yeah.
she does.
Like whatever Wayne Coyne sings, like, I could be a helicopter, you know, and then she'll either like make that noise or laugh. And something we like to do with David on occasion. This mm-hmm. is revealing way too much.
No, go ahead.
And this will be like, hey, David. Because it'll start off like, David, who let the cats out?
Meow, 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 meow.
And whatever we'll do, he'll have to make that animal noise.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but it's the greatest thing ever.
Which, you know, it's okay because, like, you know.
Who let the bears out?
Roar, 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 roar.
Same basic premise.
But sometimes,
that song.
You know, sometimes it gets unwieldy because you have to do that same, you know, one, two, one, two, one. You know, that rhythm or whatever. Whatever you, I don't know. I'm not musically inclined.
I think rhythm.
Yeah, but sometimes it'll get unwieldy because, like, sometimes it'll be like,
who let Larry King out?
Hey, gang. Hey, 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 gang.
So you pull that one off remarkably.
But and I hate it. I hate it so much, but I'll do
but
it
it's
every
a
time.
It's a compulsion.
It really is. So. I'm like Leprechaun. Like, if you throw shoes at me, I have to cobble them. And if you do the who let the blanks out, I have to do them.
In the end, just a full disclosure, the first time we did this, it was at gunpoint.
And yeah.
So let's get to it. Hup, set up this interview.
All right, so Again, Nick Prewer is the host slash curator of the Found Footage Festival.
Is it giving something away if I ask what that is? Or is that talked about in the interview?
The Found Footage Festival is in its volume 4 phase.
Okay.
I think, oddly, this is the 5th anniversary that they've been doing it.
All right.
And yeah, it's described in the interview by Nick, who can speak to its merits and characteristics better than I can.
All right. Well, folks, listen to this.
All right.
And after the interview concludes, and the interview is about 12 minutes long.
Yes, sure.
After the interview concludes, we'll be giving away some tickets for this. So, ladies and gentlemen, Hup's debut as a radio interviewer.
Tonight, we have a conversation with writer, director, and actor Nick Prewer. At the end of the 20th century, Mr. Prewer's career in television ranged from The Late Show with David Letterman, where he served as head researcher, to Mystery Science Theater 3000, which ran on the Comedy Channel, Comedy Central, and Sci-Fi Channel variously from 1988 to 1999. He has since directed several short films with longtime collaborator Joe Pickett, including Gas and Fuel and Saving Human Lives, featured on the Independent Film Channel. And in 2007, a full-length documentary, Dirty Country, premiering at the South by Southwest Film Festival and taking home the Audience Award announcement. Found Footage Festival, now in the midst of its 2009 tour, visiting nearly 30 cities across the U.S. and Canada, and showing at the Alamo Drafthouse, South Lamar, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and again at 9:30, has been described as a fun and very strange enterprise by AV Club and a celebration of the very worst by the LA Times. Nick, welcome to Mascot Wedding.
Thanks, Hup. Thanks for having me on.
If you will, please briefly take our listeners through your typical Found Footage Festival. The curtains are drawn up and the lights go down.
And we take people on a guided tour of our collection of odd and hilarious found videos. These are videos that we found over the years at thrift stores and garage sales and other places that people discard VHS tapes. And So it's basically like a live comedy show featuring all these crazy clips we found.
My first question is, have there been things that you've included in the Found Footage Festival that were either too odd or too strange to remain fun?
Well, we did have, to us, there's some stuff that we include that may be considered a little disturbing, but we still think is funny. So I think our last time through town, we played a video called Something's Happening, which was an excerpt from a public access show in Oakland, California, of this, it was like a talk show, like a Charlie Rose talk show, where this man, who clearly had a few screws loose, went on the air and described this medical breakthrough, he called it, where you could spray grape juice into your mouth with a Windex bottle and spit out the purple foam that it created into a coffee filter to strain out all the harmful mucus in your body. And this would supposedly prevent babies from having birth defects. And he just thought the world needed to know about this discovery. And to prove how harmful this this mucus was, he then put it on a stone and lit it on fire with a blowtorch, and it was one of the strangest pieces of footage we'd seen, and we somehow felt like the world needed to see it, so we included it in our show, and that one was probably a little bit on the borderline between disturbing and entertaining, but we pushed the limit on that one, I think, a little.
So, besides disturbing and entertaining, there are published 3 rules governing Found Footage Festival. 1, footage must be found on physical format, no YouTube. 2, footage must be unintentionally funny. And three, no Richard Simmons footage.
That's right. Those are really the three rules we govern the our body of work by, yes.
How did you come up with this criteria? Is the ban on Richard Simmons footage there because he's just too easy to laugh at?
Yeah, I think that was it. You know, I think that and the no internet video rule. Though we don't want to make it too easy for ourselves, you know. And that's the Richard Simmons stuff is just shooting fish in a barrel, you know. So we felt like, we really enjoy sort of the old school thrill of the hunt, you know, with going to thrift stores, getting our hands dirty, you know, blowing the dust off these pieces of physical media, VHS tapes mostly, and seeing what we can find, you know. And it's a needle in a haystack to find something good, but, you know, when we do, it makes it all the more worthwhile when it's something like that rather than something, you know, that somebody forwarded you from YouTube. You know, this is these have stories behind them, and it's footage we've personally found. So we like the context of that.
You've said in an interview elsewhere, paraphrasing here, that there's such an enormous amount of footage out there in the world that it's necessary for someone to step in and run triage. So,
yeah.
You're providing at least two services for your viewership, as I see it. One thing you're doing is you're rescuing these bits of physical, and I guess therefore corruptible, video ephemera that might otherwise be lost to history. This is part of the curatorial work that you do, but you're also culling from the stacks and stacks and stacks of this stuff you dig up before delivering it to the audience in actually digestible doses. It's this latter activity that's really interesting. I imagine where the personal touch comes into play. I don't know how to put this without sounding confrontational, but what makes you qualified to author the standards for inclusion and exclusion we've mentioned that govern what ends up in Found Footage Festival?
Yeah. Well, I think both Joe and I have a very unique gift, probably for nothing else but having a high tolerance for watching awful videos. And I feel like we've earned the right to decide what makes the cut, having sat through hundreds and hundreds of hours of the most boring, awful footage on earth. I mean, this is stuff I wouldn't wish upon anybody. But we have a bizarre, like, masochistic penchant for watching some of these terrible, terrible things that were committed to videotape. And, we lock ourselves in a room and go through these stacks and stacks of videos we've turned up at thrift stores and, you know, sort of hold hands and try to get through them together. And I think over the years we've developed sort of an eye for what makes a funny video, what's going to be entertaining. And, we've been collecting videos since 1991 and have seen a lot of stuff. So I think we, if we have expertise in anything, it's stupid videos. So we're more than willing to serve as curators for that.
Well, thanks for taking one for the team.
We're willing to suffer for other people's entertainment.
Right. Well, Wikipedia traces the roots of Found Footage Festival to, quote, the art movement made famous by artists such as Marcel Duchamp. Before we decided to record this over teleconference, I shopped around for an art museum to hold the interview in, and they all refused. Each person I spoke to, these were mostly people in the PR departments of the different institutions, was initially really excited about the project, about the free press, if nothing else.
Right.
But as soon as the word comedy entered the negotiations, they'd start backpedaling and raise concerns about appropriateness and eventually deny permission altogether.
Uh-huh.
In your opinion, just how far from art, qua art, is the stuff that you feature and the work that you do?
Well, you know, we never set out to be, you know, artists or to make an artistic endeavor. I mean, our background is in comedy. You know, we both were former writers for The Onion and, you know, Late Show with David Letterman. And, you know, we sort of came from that background. So our intention was to make an entertaining show that would make people laugh. But that having been said, I think there is something to taking these videos that were meant to be watched, you know, in a smoky break room in a McDonald's or, you know, in your home while you're exercising or, you know, when you're watching, starting a new job and you're watching a sexual harassment video in a conference room. There's something to be said, artistic-wise, for taking those videos that were meant for that context and putting them in the context of a movie theater with 300 people and projecting them on a big screen and giving permission to people to laugh at these things. You know, I think there's something cathartic and you know, maybe it is artistic. I don't know. These videos that were sort of capturing moments that would otherwise be forgotten or, you know, deemed not worthy of hanging on to, I think say just as much, if not more, about who we are as a people than do, you know, some of the greatest works of art, than do the AFI Top 100 films. You know, these polished pieces of art, I think, are not as truthful in some ways as this forgotten ephemera that we've turned up.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I don't know if the Marcel Duchamp comparison is apt. You know, we're not the... We're not taking urinals and then putting them in art galleries, but, you know, we are taking the VHS equivalent of urinals and putting them in movie theaters like the Draft House. So, I don't know, call it what you will.
Well, Nick, it's been a pleasure. I've got to keep this short because we're sort of squeezing it into the beginning of the Mascot Wedding Show. I hope to see you tomorrow night again at the Alamo Draft House, South Lamar.
Well, thanks so much for squeezing me in. We are certainly, Austin is one of our favorite cities. The Draft House is one of our favorite venues. And, yeah, we can't wait to show off our new finds.
All right, we'll break a leg.
Thanks a lot. See you tomorrow.
Wow, incredibly professional. Why do I keep doing that?
Good job, Hup.
Great job, Hup.
Thank you.
Well done.
And that was Hup's interview with Nick Prewer.
Yes.
Of the Found Film
Found Footage Festival. Yes, thank you, Nick Prewer.
Which is tomorrow night, correct?
7 o'clock and again at 9:30 at the Alamo Draft House, South Lamar. Should I read this thing here?
Yeah, but let's say, folks, if you want tickets, we got some free passes to give away to that right now. So if you want some, call in right now. 472-5667, 472-KOP, and help read the description of the show again.
An all-new show featuring a never-before-seen lineup of found video clips and live comedy. The festival showcases videos found at garage sales, thrift stores, warehouses, and dumpsters throughout the country. Two shows at 7 and 9 p.m.
472-5667. If you want those tickets, we got free passes. Nobody's calling.
For shame.
I know. If no one calls up, consider that a condemnation of your interview skills.
Gee whiz.
Well, you know what? I'll ask.
Fast feedback.
Well, I'll ask you, you know, just I'll ask you an interview. I'll have an interview about the interview. How did that feel? How'd that go for you?
Lou, I don't know. I think interviewing is not one of my strong suits, but I thought I'd give it a shot.
What is your strong suit, Hup?
Swimming.
All right. We'll see if we can do more of that on the radio.
Perfect for the radio.
KOP, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. What's your name, caller?
Laura.
Laura. How's it going, Laura?
Oh, good.
What can I do for you?
Did I call the wrong number?
You called the right number. Well, what's up?
They're giving away tickets.
Who's they? What are their names?
The Mascot Wedding Show.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Damn straight, Laura. So you want some tickets to this show?
Yeah, I would love to go.
Now, it's a plus one. Who are you going to take?
Probably a friend of mine.
What's his friend's name?
Kristen.
Kristen, huh?
Yeah.
Can we trust this Kristen?
Yeah.
She's not going to get drunk at this thing and make an ass out of herself?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
She's not going to bring her own footage and like, look what I found. And it's just like old football games.
No.
Okay. No. Awesome. Well, what do you think, Hup? Tickets to this person or
give
not?
Give it to her.
All right. Yay.
Yay.
We'll tell you what. We'll be giving away some more tickets later in the show. But Laura, you stay on the line.
Uh-huh.
And but first, we're going to hear some music from Built to Spill. More Mascot Wedding Show after this.
Cool.
Pop, pop, pop. Loud. 6:34 p.m. We are listening to the Mascot Wedding Show on Co-op. My name is David.
My name is Mac, and joining us is
Hup,
who just interviewed some dude from the Found Footage Festival. We'll be giving away some more tickets to that at the very end of the show. So make sure you keep listening for your chance to get some free passes to that show tomorrow night.
Yes.
At the Alamo Drafthouse, South Lamar. Correct. We just heard Built to Spill with their song Aisle 13 or Aisle 31, one of the two, off the album There Is No Enemy, and they're playing tonight at Stubbs with Dinosaur Jr., and I will probably be going to that show.
That sounds like a great show. I wish I could go.
You want to take my ticket?
No, I can't go.
Well, that's what I thought then.
No, actually, I can't go because I'm dealing with some personal issues travel-wise right now.
Please share.
Oh, geez. Like, here's one of the problems with this week. My car broke down. My alternator went out. And the thing about, look, I am not good at a lot of avenues of life, but one of those avenues happens to be car repair and dealing with car trouble. So I'm driving to work. It's, you know, it's early. I get that little battery light on. So I'm like, oh, my performance is starting to go down. My high performance vehicle, that is, my sweet 98 Ford Escort. The performance is starting to slip a little bit. So I pull into a parking lot. I'm a little concerned. I turn it off. I try to turn it back on again, thinking that'll fix it. It doesn't fix it.
Did you take it out and blow on it?
Yes.
Idiot.
Exactly. I just tried to shake it a little bit. And it didn't work. And the theme for this story that I'm telling right now is I feel like a kid again, and not in a good way. Because every time my car breaks down, I instantly regress back to when I was like 13 years old or something, and I just felt so helpless. And so what did I do? As soon as my car broke down, I called my parents. Now let's be clear here. I am 29 years old. I have a steady job. I pay my bills roughly on time. I am a grown-up for all intents and purposes, I'm a grown-up. But I called my parents. My dad is at work. He's busy. He's got his own stuff to do. My mom is at home writing her novel, and I bothered both of them. And so now they're worried about their son. They're like, oh, you know, his car is broken down. Is it broken down on the side of the road? Is it upside down? Did he fall in a well? They don't know. They just know that I can't fix my car. And so I immediately felt I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for how quickly I just sort of became a kid. So I took a second and just took a deep breath and called a shop. And I was like, hey, could you please take care of this? That's all it took. I went through so much crud and put people through so much. Like, I ruined their days. I know I ruined my parents' days because they're worried about me now. The long and the short of it is I can't go to Dinosaur Jr. tonight because my car is incommunicado right now.
Too bad.
You know, I when it comes to car repair, I mean, I know enough to, you know, who to call, where to get it fixed, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know much about cars in terms of how they work, you know, what tools, et cetera. Like, right. I'm not by any definition a car guy, much to the shame of my father. And the result of this is this not intense, that's a bad word. But I definitely feel emasculated every time I go to like a car shop and they're like explaining to me what's wrong. And I sit there and I make like a face as if I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, I understand. like, you know, your flux capacitor shot to be like, ooh, oof, the old FC. Yep. Yeah, I'm on board. Let's get that fixed.
Do you do a lot of those sentence starters where, like, it sounds like you're about to complete a sentence that sounds like you know what you're talking about, where it's like, oh, yeah, your discombobulator went out. And you're like, you know, I was thinking that. And, like, hopefully you're just trying to keep the conversation going.
I'll ask questions like I'm trying to learn.
Oh, okay.
Like, what just, did the AC just come on or something?
Did it? That is
getting a lot of AC in my headphones. Glad to know the studio is set up like that.
That's bizarre.
But he'll be like, oh, yeah, that's your battery. And I'll be like, how do you know it's my battery? He's like, because of this. And I was like, if I were to touch the battery, would it electrocute me? And he's like, not this, not if you touch the casing. And I was like, casing, writing that down to look up later. Like, I don't know anything.
See, you're a better person than I because, like, I don't know why I do this. It's a compulsion that I wish I could stop doing. But I will pretend I know, but I can't be sullied or bothered with this, like, laborer's work. And I'm like, you do it. I know exactly what you're doing, but I don't want to dirty my hands. And so, like, I'll pretend I know, and I wish I would stop doing that, but I can't stop doing it.
Last time I needed to get my battery replaced, I went to a store that sold them. And the guy's like, hey, Mitch, a guy up front needs his battery replaced. And he was like, who? Who does? Who? You? And he points to me. I was like, yes. He's like, wait, but you're a guy. I was like, yeah. He's like, so what do you need me to do? Oh. And I was like, and he goes, I'm just joking. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. Emasculate me right in front of the rest of AutoZone or Napa or whatever.
Yeah, I like how he tried to say it by, I'm just joking, when he said the thing and it's out there now and he can't take it back.
Listen here, name tag.
Oh, wow.
You fixed that stinking battery.
It's a little rough.
He actually did a good job and he was pretty nice about it. He also recommended the movie Mama's Grandmother's Boy to me while we was fixing it.
Really?
Still haven't seen it, but maybe
it's a courtesy, though. It's an extra little bit.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, folks. Oh, time for another break. This show is zipping by.
Blew through it.
Zip,
yeah.
Zip, zip. This show is turning from, it's color shifting. It's going so fast. Yep. So, folks, we're going to hear some Mike Snow off of his self-titled album. This is Animal. More Mad Sky Wedding Show after this.
Hey, that sounds like fun. Mad Sky Wedding Show coming down the home stretch. That was Mike Snow with Animal. And we... I've got a call. KOP, you're on the air.
David Jarrell, please.
It's Hata, and this is he.
Is this 4725667?
Yes, it is.
And David Jarrell is not there.
No, my name's David Hata. I'm the guy you're looking for. It's J-A-R-A.
How do you pronounce that?
Hata.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't roll my R's.
Well, yeah, but I didn't. Okay. I'm sorry. Hi. Let's start this over again. What's your name, caller?
Hi, this is Erwin Licklider from Sunken Valley Automotive.
Oh, hello, Erwin.
Hi there, man. I'm just returning your call.
Yeah, I guess you didn't listen to the message I left.
No, I'm sorry. I just hit star 69 and called you back.
Oh, okay, because I left you a message saying not to call me at this number, because this is the phone number to the radio station I'm at right now. And I won't be here all night, and that if you needed to reach me, you could call my cell phone after 7 tonight.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Yeah, you shouldn't leave messages. Our damn machine only works about half the time.
Okay, well, I guess I know now for the next time. But listen, can I call you back in like 20 minutes? I'm kind of in the middle of something.
Well, we're all closed for the night, so if you were to call back, I probably wouldn't answer it. You know, you'd have to call back when the shop is open.
Okay, that's fair. So what time can I call you tomorrow?
You can't call me tomorrow. I'm starting my vacation tomorrow, so I'm not taking in a new business until I get back.
Okay, then. When can I call back?
Today's the 23rd, right?
Yes.
Okay, November 9th.
November 9th. You're going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
So I have to wait 2 weeks before I can call back.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of, it's a little inconvenient. I mean, you know, it's got... I don't know.
Well, all right, then. I'll talk to you
later. Wait a second.
Yes, sir?
I mean, well, if I've got you on the phone right now, I might as well talk to you right now.
Well, like I said, we just closed right now.
Look. I mean, well, then why did you call me?
Well, sir, it's like I said. I just hit the star 69.
Well, okay. So, right. I understand that. I mean, well, can I please just ask you a question? It'll take just a minute. Okay.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I'm sorry. I just want to know what the status is on my car.
Okay. Well, like I said, you wouldn't be able to bring it in for another couple of weeks.
Well, no. I already brought it in. You have my car. You're currently fixing it.
Oh, okay. Oh, and you just want to know the status of it?
Yes.
Well, shoot, I can do that. That shouldn't take but a minute.
Okay, good. Yeah, if you could do that, please, that'd be great.
Sure thing. Hang on just a second here. What kind of car do you have?
I have a 98 Ford Escort.
All right, hang on. Sir, do you have an Escort or an Escort Sport?
An Escort Sport.
Okay, good, because we've got one of those.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, she's a good car. My daughter has the same thing.
Is that right?
Yeah, except hers is a 2000.
Okay.
And it's not a sport.
Hmm.
And I think it might be a Taurus instead.
But other than that.
Yep.
Hmm. Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
So was that a yes?
A yes to what?
Do you drive an Escort or an Escort Sport?
An Escort Sport.
Oh, that's right. You drive my daughter's car. Hang on.
Okay.
All right. So you brought your Escort Sport in on
Wednesday.
Wednesday, right? And you brought it in to fix the.
Yes.
Well.
Well, what?
Well, what'd you bring in to fix?
I'm sorry. Shouldn't you have that on file? I mean, shouldn't you know what I brought it in for?
Yeah, that stuff's in the file. Hang on. Let me get it.
You're just now getting it. Oh, what have you been doing this whole time?
We've been trying to figure out what's wrong with your car this whole time, sir.
But what I'm saying is that we already know what's wrong with the car. It should all be in the file you have on my car. The car I brought in on Wednesday because the alternator went out.
Well, sir, excuse me, all right? But if you have all the answers, then what is your question?
Oh, okay, look, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir, you know? I'm sorry that I'm taking time out of my vacation. We started 12 minutes ago to get schooled in automotive repair by you.
Okay, look, sir, I really am sorry. Erwin, let me apologize. I'm sorry to take time out of your vacation, and I'm very sorry to be so short with you. It's just that it's always hard to be without a car, and it's stressful to not know how much it's going to cost or how long it's going to take to fix. So I don't mean to take it out on you. I just want my car back as soon as possible. So again, I apologize. I'm very sorry.
It's all right. I get it. You know, I didn't mean to snap at you.
Mm-hmm.
Just this is the first vacation I've had since my twins were born,
mm-hmm.
and my girlfriend and I are just really looking forward to just getting away from them.
Sure.
You ever been to Branson?
Missouri, no.
But, oh, it's going to be a blast.
We'll have fun.
Yeah, we got Yakov Smirnoff tickets.
That sounds awesome.
So I've answered all your questions?
No, you have not.
I'm sorry, I thought I might have. What is your question?
I just want to know when my car is going to be ready.
Oh, it's been ready.
Really?
Yeah, for an alternator? Yeah, it was ready the same day.
Is that right? And when were you planning on telling me this?
We've been calling you.
Since Wednesday?
Yes, dozens of times.
And which number were you calling exactly?
This one.
This number?
Yes, sir.
The one we're talking on right now?
Yep.
This number that is not mine, this number that I just called you from 30 minutes ago and you did not know existed before then. This number that I did not put on my paperwork, nor would I ever put on any paperwork ever, this number.
Sure, I think you've caught me in a lie.
I feel like I have. So look, wait a second. If my car has been ready since Wednesday, why am I just now finding out?
I do not know.
You don't know. You have no idea.
We might have lost your paperwork.
You might have. Did you lose my paperwork?
Yes.
So this whole time that we've been talking?
I've been playing Minesweeper.
Okay. So why didn't you just tell me you lost my paperwork? I can deal with that. What I can't deal with is not having my car for the past 4 days.
Well, to be honest with you, it's been kind of a rough week around here, so...
Oh, okay.
Kind of had a little bit of a fire in the shop and it destroyed a good portion of our records.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. I didn't know. This is the first I'm hearing about it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it has been tough. And you know, I'm a proud guy. I just didn't want to tell anybody, you know? I just didn't want people to think I needed help.
Sure, yeah, man. I can understand that. You know what? I'm kind of the same way, but with that said, you know, sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and ask for a helping hand, you know?
Perhaps. You know, all I really want to do right now is just go on my vacation and forget about it for a couple of days.
Sure. Yeah, I can imagine. So is everything going to be okay? I mean, as far as like your shop and your business and all that?
Oh, yeah, it'll be fine. Thankfully, we kept most of the fire contained to just the car.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Yeah?
Well, no, the thing you said before that.
Oh, we most of the fire to just the car.
So let me get this straight. Did your shop catch on fire, or did a car catch on fire?
Mostly a car.
Okay, I'm sorry. I guess I just misunderstood, because you said some of your records were destroyed.
Yeah, well, I mean, we keep each person's paperwork with their vehicle, so mm-hmm. when the vehicle catches fire, you know, odds are we're going to lose that paperwork, too.
Hold on. Erwin, I'm going to ask you a question.
We set your car on fire.
That was the question.
But not on purpose.
Oh, well, thank God. Thank God it wasn't on purpose.
Yep.
No, Erwin, not yup. How do you set my car on fire?
Well, I don't want to bore you with the details.
No, trust me.
On vacation.
No, I won't be bored. Trust me.
Well, some of my boys were goofing off, and one of them put a bumper sticker on your car. Now, I thought about leaving it on there, but then I figured, man, if he ain't a fan of the Oak Ridge Boys, I'm going to be in trouble.
Okay.
So I told my boys to get it off, and then one thing led to another, and the next thing we know, your car's on fire.
See, I feel like you kind of skipped some important details there, because one second there's an Oak Ridge Boys sticker on my car, and the
yeah,
next second...
Fan?
No, I'm not really a fan of the Oak Ridge Boys.
Good call on my part.
Yeah, great call. Yeah, but...
Take off that sticker.
Yeah, but then the next second my car's on fire, you know? I mean, what I want to know is what happened between those two points.
Well, like I said, we were just trying to get that sticker off.
Yeah, but Erwin, how does fire get involved? I mean, unless you tried to burn the sticker off. You tried to burn the sticker off, didn't you?
That is correct.
Well, great. All right, fine. So, look, how long is this going to take to fix?
Well, like I said, I'm about to go on vacation, so we probably won't get to it until sometime after November 9th.
Is that right?
Yeah, listen, I hate to bring this up, but seeing as how I'm going on vacation,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be about $320 for that alternator. So if you just want to swing by and drop that off in cash...
Okay, so I'm supposed to pay you for the alternator now?
Yes, sir.
I'm not paying you a dime. In fact, I can't even begin to tell you how much free work you're going to do for me.
Free work for what?
You set my car on fire.
Yes, we did, after we fixed your alternator.
This is insane.
I'm not even going to tell you how much that Oak Ridge Boy stickers cost.
Well, you can add it to the bill I'm never going to pay.
That's all right. A copy on that one.
Wait, no.
So now you're not going to pay me?
No. In fact, I'll probably see you in court for all this.
You know, I also run a collection agency.
Is that right? So you're going to come collect?
Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Maybe you need to look both ways now before you cross the street.
What are you going to do? You're going to run me over?
Oh, I'm not running you over.
Okay.
Might be some guy who owns a fire-damaged Ford Escort.
So let me get this straight. I'm going to run myself over.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about that.
You know what? Well, goodbye. There you go. That's... I hate car repair. Why does it always have to be such a pain in the tuchus? Hang up on that guy and... Ignore the scowls of Lisa and Linda, who are standing right behind me waiting to start the Clear Spot Hot Rock to get you through your cold Saturday night. Got a lot of stuff to do. I'll tell you what, we have one more pair of tickets left for the Found Film Footage Festival. Did I say that right? I don't care. Boop. Yeah, give us a call in between shows. If you want the pair of tickets, we'll go ahead and hook you up with that pair of tickets.
What's the phone number again?
Phone number is 472-5667. Let's get out of here. Let's do the pleasantries real quick. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including show archives and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us, mascotwedding@gmail.com. We are on Facebook. Don't you dare No, go ahead. We are on Facebook. We are on MySpace. Mac, do you have anything to add?
Good interview, Hop.
Why do I?
Thanks, Mac.
Why do I feel like we went out? Okay, never mind. That's fine. We're going to get out of here with some Times New Viking. They'll be at Fun 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 Fest in 2 weeks. We will be at Fun 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 Fest in 2 weeks. Yeah, for Mac. Actually, let's say this. Goodbye, Hup.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mac.
Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Austin.